podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello everyone, welcome to this evening's FPL family. My name is Lee, this is Sam. I know that we've been playing this game, how long between us, Sam? I would say we've got over 20 years FPL experience.
No, it's more than that. What? It's more like 30 years between us. It is.
30 years of FPL playing between us, I would say. Near enough 30 years.
Near enough.
That has to be the single worst, most horrendous game week.
No, just start again. The worst weekend. Because the football for us is in the mud.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Our teams are in the mud. Our FPL teams are in the mud. Okay.
So, what is there to be positive? So there's got to be something.
Max's team got a draw today. A hard-fought, brilliant draw
today. The London Colney Youth Tigers got a hard-fought draw today. That was the sporting highlight of the weekend. No doubt about it. Absolutely.
It was that bad that me, the person that really doesn't... Sorry to any rugby fans out there. I don't understand rugby. I don't get it. I don't really know what's happening. And at the end of the Spurs game, I went, put the rugby on. And you went, what?
The first time in your life ever you've gone, put the rugby on. Because Spurs were that bad. You were like, I do not want to listen to this. And even at the end of the Liverpool game, I was like, I'm not listening to any of this. I think I put Despicable Me on Sky Movies or something. I was just like, it was... Honestly, guys, what a weekend we've had. I'd love to bring you some positivity. I can't because Liverpool are out of the cup, Spurs were crap, and FPL was absolutely dreadful, wasn't it? Dreadful!
It's all been that bad. And to make it worse, we went out for lunch today and that all went wrong as well. And then, was a whole other story of wrongness. And then, so we got home and I was like, do you know what? I'm in a foul mood. I'm just in a really bad mood. Everything was going wrong at that point. Also, Areola was keeping a clean sheet and I was thinking... If Areola clean sheets here,
Honestly, I don't like FPL Schadenfreude. I try not to do it. But I tell you what, I cheered that Areola clean sheet getting wiped out.
Oh,
absolutely
me too.
Cheered it.
I cheered
nothing of FPL all weekend. And then Areola clean sheet went, I went, yes, thank God that's gone.
And then the worst of it was then I had to try and support West Ham because I obviously wanted Aston Villa to look. The whole thing was a joke. Yeah. But what I will say... is that in all the midst of all of this drama, I have made some really nice brownies, some really nice flapjacks and some really
That's
nice
the
cookies.
Highlight.
Because quite honestly, it was so bad that I thought, do you know what? The only thing here to do here, as you all have seen from my Instagram stories this morning, the only thing I got up Ben and was like, I'm in such a bad mood, I'm going to make pancakes. So I made pancakes for breakfast for Max and I. And then I got home was still in such a bad mood after the lunch saga that I thought, sod this, I'm going to bake. So now our house smells nice. There's brownies, flapjacks and cookies. So
guys,
we're all going to be really fat by the time international break ends.
If you're in the chat and you got over 20 points this week, congratulations. Congratulations, because absolutely unreal this game week. Absolutely unreal.
We'll
talk through the wreckage. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it. It's absolute wreckage.
The only other positive. I've got a positive.
Go on.
There's only four games for us to talk about.
Only four games to talk about. Thank God. We're going to... what we usually do is we wait till the end of the stream to do our ranks and overall score. We're just going to do it, right? We're pulling the Band-Aid off. We're going to tell you how crap it's been. You guys can get your scores in the live chat and tell us how crap your game week has been. It's going to be a bit like FPL therapy tonight. This is going to be, you know, we are not... I'd like to think that we have once and for all proved that we are not fair weather FPL content creators. Because the weather has not been fair this weekend. It's been absolutely dreadful, right? Dreadful. FA Cup, dreadful. Spurs, dreadful. FPL, horrendous, in the mud. But if you've got over 20, well done. Congratulations, because you are the winners so far this week. It's been absolutely incredible. We'll talk about our scores. You, Sam, from FPL Family, so disgusted with how FPL's gone this weekend. You are considering or have hit the wildcard button. Is this under consideration or it's done?
It's done.
It's done. So the wildcard is active, guys. Sam's wildcard is active for game week
30. I've just had enough.
So she's had enough. She's pulled the trigger. That's what it's come to this weekend. It's flapjacks and wildcards.
Please
That's
don't tell Jules. Please stream. Don't. Nobody go and tell him because this is. I'm going to have a little advantage over him while he doesn't know this. So please don't tell him.
Well, that's everyone going on Twitter.
Don't tell him.
So the wild card is active. As you would expect with wild card being active, you have put together a draft. It's very much, very, very much a 1.0 draft of players. We have now got the international break coming up. So we've got a little bit of a break from FPL. I have to say, I'm not really in favour of this break. I want to bounce back a little bit from the weekend we've just had, to be honest with you.
FPL, Liverpool, everything?
No, FPL. What we've just experienced. By the way, I did not enjoy it at all this weekend. For the first week in probably the whole of the season, I thought it was really, really just boring and crap FPL this week.
Everyone
had the same team. Even, I was just waiting for upside that didn't come. There was never any, one of the reasons I like FPL is the kind of, there's a bit of jeopardy, right? You go for a pick, and if it doesn't come off and another pick comes in, all right, you're not happy about it, but that's the game. That's the game. That's why we play it. There was no jeopardy. It was like, I'm just waiting for upside, and if it doesn't come, we've all just done bad.
But the thing is, I think within 8 minutes of the 3 o'clock game starting, you just knew.
Reggie, what are you playing at?
We were buying Maxim football boots, or attempting to buy Maxim football boots at that time. We were in the shop, and the guys in the Slack, I love them dearly. Whenever we're out, they are my first, they are the first people that break the news of anything that's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
So my phone is in my pocket and it suddenly goes ballistic. And I turned to you and was like, something's happened.
Yeah.
So I pull my phone out of my pocket. I'm like, oh.
I thought they were joking.
It's a penalty to Burnley. And you were like, oh, for goodness sake. So I put my phone back in my pocket. Then it starts going mad again. And I pull it back out. And one of the guys, I can't remember who it was, just goes, I think Regs is going to be sent off here. And I was like, what are you talking
and
about?
And no complaints either. He pushes him over and he's about to score a goal. It's clear.
And I'm looking at my phone watching this penalty go in and I'm like, well, that's it now. I've got a red card. Burnley are one up. So that's my defender out.
Yeah.
And whatever happens now can only get worse with him. Yeah. My goalkeeper's now conceded. So there's no clean sheet coming there.
But that's the thing. You're thinking...
And the game week felt over at that moment.
You're thinking Reguilón. Red card after 8 minutes, and then the Brentford clean sheet goes. You're thinking, right, that's as bad as it's getting. It can't get any worse than that. I mean, that's just terrible stuff. And then it just got worse.
I think that was the thing for me. Dude. When that happened, I thought it's going to be one of those weeks, and it was. Everything that happened after that. And as soon as Spurs kicked off, I was like, hello, this is not looking great here. What is happening here?
And didn't look good.
The
did
whole
it?
Thing just went to rack and ruin.
Didn't look good. Let's say hello to a few people. Then we'll get onto ranks. Then we'll talk about the games. Ugh. And then we'll talk about more. Let's look forward to your wild card in terms of what you're going to do for game week 30.
Better be something to look forward to, I tell you.
We also have a little bit because of what's happened in the FA Cup this weekend. And we can discuss those games if you like. And we should, because they'll have some knock-on impact to game week 34 and 37,
correct.
Right? When we're expecting doubles and blanks and a bit of a, maybe even in 34, a mixture of both, actually, is the reality. So there's some combinations and permutations. I'll be honest, I haven't got my head round yet. But, as usual, the guys from Planet FPL.
Yeah, but you're still in the mire after today, this afternoon. You won't get your head
round
yet.
I've just been sulking for a few hours.
But it's inevitable. I sulked. I mean, last night, I don't know how you put up with me, to be honest, because I really
You were in
sulked.
A foul mood after that. It was totally understandable, because Spurs are not good.
I was really sulking last night. I was in a bad mood.
Let's say hello to people, Sam, because that will cheer us up, because we've got this usual
These guys surely are all... I mean, hopefully somebody's had a good game week in there, but
I don't think
else,
so, Sam, I'll be honest. I don't think so.
How many... Oh, hang on. It's Crabbe in. Because if Nigel's in, I want to know how many points did he take and how many points did he get back? Because there's genuinely a chance
he'll tell you, I'm sure.
He's on minus overall.
He'll tell you, I'm sure. And guys, for those of you that are new to the channel, if you haven't subscribed yet, we'd love you to subscribe as usual. There was a little bit of nonsense, let's say, in the live chat last weekend. So thank you to Si, Nigel the Crab, for sorting that out for us and becoming a moderator, sort of almost like ad hoc. I just added him live in play and he sorted it out. So thank you, mate. I watched it back and did a brilliant, brilliant job. But because of that, I've now added something that says you need to have subscribed to us for at least 5 minutes before you can make a comment. So if you want to comment in the live chat and you're not already a subscriber, hit subscribe and then 5 minutes later you will be able to make a comment. That stops anybody just going subscribe and then spamming the chat, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I've turned on. So hopefully we're not going to get any nonsense. And if there is, We've got Mr. Cyberdebt there.
Crab's
too.
There, getting
We've
his got claws out.
The
to
crab
deal with you
police
all.
Is there. Let's see. We've got Wilco is in. Hello, Wilco.
Hi,
thank
Wilco.
You for the super chat, mate. He sat here eating red velvet cake, Sammy says.
I don't like red velvet cake. I saw in the Slack that you were bringing the red velvet cake. You can have the red velvet cake.
Good. Okay, good. He's got 20 points minus 8. Only went down 8.5k smiling as a non-free hitter. Yeah, I mean, listen, Wilco, that's...
He was gloating.
That's
earlier.
All right. You
he
take
was gloating
that this
in
week.
The Slack that he's still got his free hit.
He says, a might wildcard 31, maybe 32 if I avoid price swings and thoughts. Price swings, what are your thoughts on that? Wilco, we will do the wildcard chat a bit later on when we get to
I'll explain
why you've
it
hit
now.
It this week. Why yeah. you've hit it this week. Another super chat from Joseph Maloney. Hey, Joseph, looking forward to the Zoom later on this over the last couple of months. Hi, Sam and Lee. What a game week that was. 26 points and a green arrow. I hope you enjoyed the pancakes. Joseph, 26 points. Mate, you will take that this week. You take it.
Pancakes
that's unbelievable.
Great. But that is a great score for this week. Well done, Joseph.
Jonathan Cloete is in. I got 28 points. Mate, that
well
is
done.
A win. That is a massive
that
dub this week, Jonathan.
Is a massive
unbelievable.
Win.
Jason Stilling is in. 19, no free hit. Again,
I take that.
Massive
that's
win.
That's a win.
CH is in. Got 10 points, minus 4 for a net 6. Sam, what are we saying about that?
Good
it won't
week.
Be the worst.
It's a good week to have a bad week. Has Nigel told us how many points it's he took yet?
I'm sure he will.
Come
in a
on,
second.
Si.
I'm
how
sure
many,
he will. I took a minus 16 and scored 32. So we've got a net 16.
I'm sort of disappointed.
That's so Nigel, isn't it?
I'm sort of disappointed. I was hoping he was going to say I took a minus 20 odd and I got 12.
Ah, well, there we go.
Like, just because that would be such a... That would be such a sigh
such
thing
a
to happen,
thing
wouldn't
to
it?
Do. George Day is in. I'll take my 18. Very small green arrow. George, you will. You will, absolutely.
If your arrow is green,
very,
run.
Very good.
Take it and run away.
Sourabh Singh is in 28 minus 4 with me with only 8 players. No free hit. Mate, that's a huge dub.
What is that?
That is huge.
That is massive. Who have you even got?
Oh, I'll tell you what, Sam. Not only is Cyberdebt in a moderating tonight, but we've got one of our moderators who we haven't seen for a very long time. Welcome back, Joe Finley-Badder.
Joe!
Haven't seen you for a very long
Welcome
time. I hope
you're
well. Maybe he's been lurking. Maybe he's been here, but just not... Comments in the chat. I don't know, but listen, very nice to see you, Joe. I haven't seen you for a while. Liam Healy is in. Evening, me and Sam. Bad FPL week, but Bristol City losing could have been a better weekend, he says. Could have been a better weekend. You can join our sulking
you can join,
club, mate.
Come
it's
and sit in the middle of us because we've.
Tragic.
It's been a poor weekend for FPL.
Bloody
family week.
Tragic. Let's do. What do you want to. Do you want to talk about the FA Cup first, or do you want to talk about our teams first and just do that? Just do teams.
Just,
I mean,
whatever,
just, like,
Lee.
Awful,
to be honest, what. Both of those conversations are negative ones, so let's just get both
right.
of them done.
Here's my team. Anyone laughing at the back of my bench can get out, right? Listen, I've got more on the bench. Listen to this bench. Martinez, 3, who got more than Flecken.
Yeah.
Muniz, 13. Vitinho, 5. Cufal, 5. 29 on the bench. How many points in my team? 15. It's just a joke, isn't it? It's just a joke. So for those that are listening to the podcast, if you care, which you shouldn't, because I've got Flecken 2, Reguilon minus 3, Doughty, Udogi, Bowen, Sun captain for 4, Maddison, Kudos, Elanga, Watkins, Tony. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. A free hit, no returns, and the only thing that even happened to my team was that Reguilon got sent off. 15 points on a free hit. The only solace I will take in this, is that in such a bad week, we're in this mud together, folks, right? We're all in this mud together. I've gone down from 40k to 45k. If you're going to have your worst game week for 15 years, I'd like it to only impact me by 5k. Do you know what I mean? I feel like...
No, because I appreciate that you're trying to be positive here, but I'm raging about this because this was the week that differentials were supposed to be helpful.
Nigel's... No, why didn't you start Muniz, Lee? Well, Nigel, I've got Watkins and Tony. Oh, I could have played... It was either him or Elanga. That was the thing.
So,
him or Elanga.
Right.
But I'm not expecting Spurs to get rolled
put
over.
Put my team
now,
on, because I'm just as raging. And I'll explain why.
This is your team. Equally crap.
So,
15.
Yeah, so terrible. And the bench, equally brilliant. So, Muniz, as you will all know, because I talked a lot last week on various different platforms, I was all about him last week. And I even said on the official pod on Thursday, I was really struggling because I wanted him instead of Morris. I was going to have him and I couldn't work out how to play him because at that point I still had Brennan Johnson. In a 5-minute period on Saturday before the deadline, I was playing Muniz. up until five minutes before the deadline. I then decided that instead of having Morgan Gibbs-White, I'd go for Elanga.
Yeah.
And in that moment of changing them, I decided, well, if I'm going to change that, I might as well play Elanga. And that moment has cost me massively.
Yeah.
But
I'll be honest,
on another day, Elanga could have got 14. He had one off the line. Honestly, it's the whole weekend was just a disaster. It's a minimal red, but I am so furious about it.
It's the opportunity.
Because the opportunity is lost.
Yeah, totally agree.
I'm not fuming about what happened. I actually find what happened quite funny. It's the fact that this week felt like an opportunity to just take three or four more players through a week over the non-free hitters.
Yeah.
Three or four who look like good differentials through. And
But do they? I mean, we look back at it and we go, all right, we take the opportunity to get these really great differentials. Elanga, Reguilón.
No, but Reguilón's
Tony, an idiot. Who hadn't scored for 3 weeks. But these are not... I mean, all got really excited about getting Elanga or Gibbs-White.
But my point was, why I'm annoyed at myself is that had I just left my team alone that five minutes before, I'd have had... Minnes would have been on the pitch. Or, worst case scenario, Morgan Gibbs-White would have been on the pitch. Both of them would have got a return. That return would have given me a green arrow. And that's what I'm cross about, is that I feel like all the thinking that I did this week was roughly on the right sort of people. The Kudus Bowen thing's really annoying because midweek, they were fantastic. Today, we can watch it in the UK, so don't know how good they were or not, but didn't seem like they were that great. The whole thing just feels...
You think about those that have performed, right? Not once throughout the week, and maybe I didn't spend enough time thinking about it, I don't know, but I didn't once think to get Robinson in my team, or Castagna, or Aya, Brun Larsen, or Lukic, or Berry, or Diaby. Okay. I never once thought about getting these guys.
So, no, because Diaby and Berry, you're not going to think about. Berry had only just come on the pitch.
But that's my point. This game week was so random.
But my point, the other thing is that you're talking about, like, the Fulham defenders there, Robinson. Well, nobody's expecting Fulham to get a clean sheet.
Antonio, Wood.
Wood was
quite
popular.
Did not think about getting any of these guys. I didn't. And maybe that was just me not thinking hard enough about it. I don't know. But listen, the only one, not playing Muniz is one thing, right? But the only one was the Elanga and Gibbs-White. That was a 50-50 call. And if you come out the right side of that, fair play. If you went Gibbs-White, fair play. And if you went Elanga, unlucky. I mean, I thought it was a 50-50 call. I just went Elanga because I fancied him on that side against Luton. But it is what it is. But there was no one, like, all those others that, like, got points. I did not even think about getting them. The only other one was David Datro Fofana, who I went on Fanzone on Friday and I said would be a good differential. But I'm not picking him over, like, Watkins, Tony and Muniz. Because he scored a worldie last week.
I was just desperate for Watkins not to play today.
Yeah, I know. But
we can
absolutely move on. It was dreadful, dreadful week.
Actually, it's not adding any value anyway, because these guys are all gone from our teams now anyway.
As soon as my bus team come back, I was like, oh, Saka, Haaland, Foden. I was like, oh, well,
the best
thank
thing.
God you're back, because
the best
these
thing
are dreadful.
Was, well,
Lee's team
came up and he was like, oh, look, this is so much better. And I was like, is it? And he was like, yeah, even Zabani being back. I'll take that.
Oh, Zabani, welcome back, mate. Welcome back, Zabani. Areola, even. Welcome back.
Stop. What? No, I won't have that. Jesus. Crumbs.
Such a terrible week. Really, really
move
awful.
On. Oh, great. Let's move on and talk about Spurs, because that was so good as well.
Well, let's go back here for a second and talk about the FA Cup results very briefly then. Anything standing out for you from
So let's start with the
FA Cup. Go on.
So, Wolves fans, you might want to just close your ears for a second.
Yeah, congrats Coventry, to be fair to them. Yeah, congrats.
What a game, by the way, as well.
Yeah,
how it
what
ended.
An ending, right?
But what I will say is that I hadn't... this is really bad for me to admit this, but it hadn't really occurred to me who Wolves go... Because I just assumed Wolves were going to go through.
Yeah.
So I hadn't really looked at what the permutations of Wolves going out would be. Because in my head, well, Wolves have got Coventry. Wolves have actually been playing well.
They're going to win.
So they're
going to
win, and that's the end of it. So
especially when they go 2-1 up with Breno on like 88, you're like, oh, is it done then?
Exactly. So in my head, I'm like, you know, all right, well, that's fine. Wolves are going to go through. It's all good. Then They don't. So they go out.
What is the big consequence then of Wolves going out of the cup?
The Arsenal game plays.
The Arsenal Wolves is on.
Yeah.
In 34.
So suddenly, I was like, well, hello, because this is now...
Makes a big difference.
This is massive.
Makes a big difference, that does.
A team that I think is you want to treble up on,
yep.
Play in 34. So, and potentially double in 34 as well, because obviously that's a midweek where there's no European football. So Arsenal's game, they could have had a game put in there. So yep. I was, in my head, I was thinking, this is perfect. We can bank on our three Arsenal assets that we would want by that point. So that was great. Then today, I mean, Chelsea left it late. At one point, I thought they were going to go as well. Yeah. But they did make it. That would have meant the Chelsea-Brighton game was on. That would have been nice. But
as it stands, the Chelsea-Brighton game still currently off in 34.
Yeah, I mean, that I would have thought probably moves to the midweek because now Brighton are out of Europe as well. I would expect that game probably stays on, but we'll have to see.
Yeah.
Obviously, the implication of the Liverpool result today means that the Fulham and Liverpool game will be on in 34.
It's on in 34, yeah.
Obviously, there will be implications for Manchester United and Newcastle because that's the game that now...
But as a sort of broader, we're getting into detail already, as a broader comment, Liverpool going out and Wolves going out means that now Liverpool and Arsenal assets are on the radar for 34. It makes free hit 34 a bit less of a thing, doesn't it? It makes 34 a bit more navigatable. That's not the right word. Manageable. It makes game week 34 a bit manageable for us in FPL, right?
I always felt like 34 was never going to be a huge blank. Mm. Because in reality... That week, there's only so many weeks that certain teams, and certain teams, I mean the ones left in Europe, so Liverpool, Manchester City, all of those guys that are still in the FA Cup, well, anywhere, to be honest, because it could affect them even if they're not playing like with Arsenal. There's only so many weeks where those fixtures can be rescheduled, 34 and 37 being the main ones. And of course, for some teams, there's more than one fixture to be rescheduled already. So... when I was looking at the fixtures, I was thinking 34's not looking like it's going to be a massive blank because even those fixtures that don't take place in that weekend likely stay in that midweek, just become a single game week in that midweek. So I always felt that it was manageable, which is why I wasn't holding my free hit for it. People who are holding their three hit for 37, I see more potential upside there with the bigger double. But, you know...
Bigger question marks over that, though, right?
But also, if you've got a bench boost chip, then you have to consider that as well. Where's that going?
Yeah.
So basically, the implications of this, as we know it so far, Chelsea, Spurs and Man City, they're going to double in 37.
Okay.
So that will happen. For sure. They have to. Same with Manchester United and Newcastle. So likely, some doubles in 34, bigger doubles in 37.
So our general feel now, and this is all quite general, we're still trying to fish through the details of it, right? But on the back of what's happened today, if you have... held the free hit and you've still got it in your pocket, 37 is probably the target game week for it now.
Possibly. I mean, I think the thing is, though, the bench boost chip, because a lot of people, like the guys...
Depends what you've got left, isn't it?
Yeah, if you've got a wild card, a free hit and a bench boost left, there is a good chance... Well, 37 is probably going to be a bigger week to target. So if you put your free hit in there, where's your bench boost going? Well, you could put it into 34, but then you have to make sure your bench is okay and there isn't anybody blanking because there might be some teams that do blank, although I do think it will be very, very small if there is. Mm. So the other option, of course, is that you just put free hit on the final day of the season. And I really love doing that.
You could. Yes.
I do really love.
Feasible strategy now.
I do really love to use the free hit in 38. That's
and
the
you
best.
Never know, by 38, like the league could be done. You know, like City or Liverpool, or Arsenal, whatever, could have won it.
Yeah.
There'll be, like, it could be that City have got a Champions League final coming up, so they've won the league, Champions League final coming
FA
up.
FA Cup finals.
FA Cup finals and stuff. They're like, so maybe they just put a dross team out in the league and you just, like, I don't know. I mean, I can't remember the fixture, but they have got a nice fixture in 38. Mm-hmm. So you could have a couple of, like, really nice City differentials on your free hit 38. I genuinely think there's not a... There's not really a sort of key time or game week to play it now, but if you've held it, fair play. You know, you've got through this week where it could have been very, very difficult. But so if you've held it, fair play, and now you've got a chance to play it in a kind of more aggressive way in 37, 38.
I mean, the other way of looking at it is you still stitch your plan of free hitting in 34.
You could,
and
yeah.
You just make sure that you treble up on all of the teams. So you go for 11 doubling players.
Place your bets.
And
yeah.
You place your bets, and you roll the dice, you see what happens, and hope for the best. Personally, this is and this sort of lends into maybe what we're going to talk about later with the wild card. But for me, that Wolves result yesterday changed my whole thought process.
That's changed things.
As soon as Wolves were out and I looked and I saw it was the Arsenal game, I was like,
because a lot of us have got Arsenal already, right?
Yeah.
This is the thing.
So and in my head, I was like, right, I don't have any. And then I looked at my team coming back and I liked them, but obviously I've got Van de Ven as my only Spurs and he was flagged. I don't have Salah. And I'm not trebled up on Arsenal. And I was looking at that thinking, all right, well, maybe I can get away with not trebling up on Arsenal next week because it's Manchester City in 30.
Yeah, yeah.
But after that, I do really want them to be trebled up. So then I started looking at, okay, well, if I wildcard today, what would I do? If I wildcarded as originally planned in 33, 34, what would that look like? And it was exactly the same.
Yeah.
Bar two players.
Are we treading into your wild card
strategy? I'm just talking about why I've decided to do it now.
Because I do want to do a whole section on that really later on.
Just talking about why I think the FA Cup has been important for this, because I think a lot of managers will look at their strategy and go, I'm just blindly playing through with it. But actually, what I think when you really look at it, if you're wild carding now, 34 35 36, the team's not going to look fundamentally that different.
Okay.
Is the reality. So if you're thinking, oh, I'm still going to hold my chip for later, it's worth just drawing out what that chip would look like later and what will it look like today. And if it's not that different, think about going earlier with it.
Yeah, Azzy is in the chat. Thank you, The Smiths 1986, for the super chat. Quite right, free hit 38 is a really nice one because we're likely to get some team news, right? All the games
they'll
are kicking
play
off
at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Reasonable chance you get a bit of team news. So if there is a like fancy-looking City team with some nice differentials in there, you know, you can go for them, can't you? Can go for them on the free hit.
The most successful free hit I've ever played was in game week 38 of the COVID season, and it massively swung. It was such a huge, and on that basis, Azzy, because that was the week where Trent didn't start, and there was all those rumours that, you know, wasn't going to start, and so we swapped last minute to Van Dijk, I think, who went off on one, and it was like, right, okay.
I remember it well.
And that sometimes happens in the final week because everyone's kicking off at the same time. So, and you know the teams to target in terms of the ones that have got things to play for. So I'd never shy away from a free hit in 38. I don't see that as a
Don't mind it, Azzy. Don't mind it. Super chat from Nigel the Crab. Thank you, mate, for the super chat, and thank you for moderating. You know, it's been a weird season when my large hit score returns... when my large hit score higher returns than no hit teams. Yeah, mate, it was a weird week. It was a weird week. Feeling smug having owned Muniz for 8 weeks. Muniz has been absolutely brilliant, hasn't he? Absolutely brilliant.
Fantastic,
and that probably
yeah.
should be a reasonable segue into the results, which we're going to fly through because, honestly, I can't bear to talk about them too much. But there were some good performances, and we do have to talk about what happened to Spurs because if you look at the fixtures coming out into 30... Spurs are right there at the bottom of the ticker, which is kind of interesting because Luton, West Ham, Forest in the next three doesn't look too bad. Newcastle away, City and Arsenal from game week 33 looks a lot worse. And obviously, we'll wait to see what those game weeks of particular 34 actually looks like. But for the next 3 weeks, I'm not planning necessarily, he says, thinking about saying one of his Spurs players. I'm not necessarily thinking about getting off of my Spurs players, certainly with Luton and Forest coming up. Tell me, because I've got some theories, but tell me what you made of this game and where it all went wrong for Spurs. What happened?
Just remember that also Spurs are due to play Man City in 34. So that is a game that is slightly dubious because obviously Man City made it through in the FA Cup.
Yes.
What did I make of this game?
Were Fulham really good or Spurs really bad?
It was both. It was both of those things. Let's start with some positives. Fulham were great. Fulham played really well.
They were
aggressive. They weren't scared. And I love that. They just played their football. They didn't do what Aston Villa did last week, which is try and change the way that they played to suit what we're going to do. They were like, no, we're going to play what we're going to play. And they took advantage of the opportunities that they had. And I think for them, that worked really well. there are a few assets in there that you could go to. If you'd have said to me, though, genuinely, at the beginning of this blank game week, that the only team that's going to get a clean sheet
is the team
Fulham,
playing Spurs, who we expected to rack up the most goals.
I would have laughed in the face.
It's a complete opposite to what we expected.
Yeah,
right?
But they deserved it. And they were really good.
They were, yeah.
From a Spurs perspective, it was everything that could go wrong. I mean, given that this was the first time we've not scored in over a year.
Do we need to talk a bit more about Fulham? We've kind of moved on a little bit there.
Well, I thought you wanted my views on Spurs.
Well, you started off on Fulham, so let's finish. Oh. Because Fulham are top of the ticker, if you look at it. Sheffield United, Forest, Newcastle, West Ham up next. Liverpool in 34, which we know is now on. That's going to be
a
game.
Yep.
And then Palace at home in 35. So all of a sudden, your man Muniz, who has been on the radar for a few weeks now, but really brought himself to the fore against Spurs, didn't he?
Yeah.
Looks really good. And I must admit, in this game in particular, I thought the midfield three of Pereira, Lukic and Paulinho, that's where the game was won for me. That's where the game was won. And I'll talk in a bit more about, I'm keen to get your thoughts on Spurs, because Spurs were leaving massive gaps between midfield and defence. And I think I know why. But those three were really taking advantage, in particular Lukic, whose movement off the ball was sensational. And the three of them, with Muniz's sort of lateral movement occupying defences, they've hit on, I said this last week, they've hit on a little system here where two of them sit and one goes. And it's really working for them, Fulham. They've had some really good results.
Yeah, I mean, I think Fulham are highly investable. It doesn't really matter, I think, with Fulham, how you do it. Like, for me, and you'll see this when we get to wildcard later, the five in midfield still feels important, but also having the big hitters in there feels important. And so saving budget is important. And I look at the front line and the players that I'd have in midfield and think that Muniz is probably the best.
All of a sudden, he looks massively investable if you want Salah and Haaland, doesn't he?
Well, at 4.5 million, he not only makes the budget work, but he's playing in a Fulham side that have got really nice fixtures, as we've just talked about. He's in great form. They're playing really well. Their attacking style of play suits what he's doing. So there's nothing not to like about him at all. I think going for Leno at the back also makes sense if you want to change up your goalkeeper strategy, because, again,
do you think Raul Jimenez comes back, you know, is a bit of a threat for his minutes or anything?
But even if they are a threat for his minutes, at 4.5 million, do you care?
It's kind of okay, isn't it?
Because if you've got him at 4.5, the chances are that your midfield five are also really good. Mm. So somebody's got to get benched. And this is the thing you've got to remember, is in that front eight, somebody's always got to be on the bench. So if he suddenly finds himself getting benched and coming on for 20 minutes, well, do you care?
You can,
because your bench
be okay
boost isn't
going
to probably be played till 37 anyway. And at that point, you've got loads of time to change that about a bit. So for me, he's perfect. He's a perfect solution to having Haaland and Salah. And he's come at exactly the right moment where we all need to find budget again. So I really like him. I thought that he would exploit Spurs. Can't begin to tell you how annoyed I was that it was him and I'd benched him. But I thought that would happen because his style of play is exactly the style of play that we don't deal very well with. And the fixtures that they've got coming up, I can only see more goals for him in those games.
All right. Well, John Tyner's in the chat. Hey, Johnny's saying, who would you replace to bring Muniz in? More on that later on. We talk about Sam's wildcard, because there is, I think, a glaring hole in your front line that you've put Muniz in for. And I can understand why you've done it, because with the money that it frees up, you've spent that very wisely. But I'm not sure that it's worth the risk. But we will talk about that a bit later on, John. I noticed, I think Si in the chat was talking about Iwobi as well. Very good game. I agree. Yep. Top for chances created this game week with four, alongside Gibbs White and Asignon from Burnley. So Iwobi definitely in really, really good form at the moment. And again, it comes down, I'm afraid, it comes back to that engine room, right? The Lukic, Paulinho and Andreas Pereira, the three of them working together, frees up Iwobi to go and do what Iwobi wants to do. And he can play off the striker, he can get in the holes, he can get in the spaces in between defence and midfield, and he can really do some damage. And I have to say, I'll go first on Spurs, if that's okay with you. I thought that's where the game was won and lost, was because I think you play a reasonably high defensive line, and the reason you do that and you create, you know, there's not a lot of space between defence and midfield, is because you've got the pace. Van de Ven is so quick. He's one of the quickest defenders in the league. And he's shown it week after week. He's the quickest. So you take him out and you put Dragosin in there. And, all right, don't mind him. He looks like a reasonably good defender. But Ange, again, has showed his lack of being able to adapt to that, right? Because he's like, well, we play how we play. Well, okay. But if you haven't got quick defenders anymore, they will naturally want to sit a little bit deeper and not play that high line. So what happens is your midfielders, like the Bissoumas and the others, they're doing what they always do because they're told to do that by Ange. The defence are like, oh, not sure about this, playing offside with Dragosin there and not Van de Ven. So they sit a little bit deeper. All of a sudden, there's this gap. And it was that came to the fore in the second goal, in the Lukic goal, because he picked it up in midfield. There was not a soul near him. Not a soul. And then, of course, they work it wide and Castagna does well and Iwobi does well. And it kind of, he flukes it in off his knee a little bit, Lukic. But the point was, they were able to get into those positions because there were such big gaps between the defence and the midfield. So I think the sooner Van de Ven gets back, the better. Not saying Dragosan's a bad defender. I'm just saying if Ange is not going to adapt to the players he's got and he's going to always play the same way, then, you know, you're going to need that speed. You need Van de Ven back in there quickly. Did you think that was where it was won or lost, or was there other assets to the game?
No, I couldn't have disagreed more with everything you've just said.
All right.
Because Dragosan is quick. He's quick.
He wasn't quick enough at the weekend.
He was our best player on Saturday by a long, long way.
No chance he was.
He was. He was
the
our
goalkeeper
best player.
Was the best player.
Well, he's always the best player. Outfield players, he was by far and away our best player. He was the one that was doing... I thought Romero made a couple of good blocks as well, actually. But he was our best player. He was the one with the most movement. I thought Udogi and Porro had poor games, both of them. And they weren't doing enough, I felt, to get back and support. They were doing what they do, which is go and attack, which is fair enough. But you are also a defender, so you do have to get back. I felt the issues were more with the big players. It was more with the likes of Son and Maddison, who were incredibly quiet. Even Brennan Johnson was off it, and he's not been off it. He's been really good for the last few weeks. But those big players in attack, who are not only important for their, particularly Son and Maddison, for their leadership qualities and for their driving other people forward, they were just two paces off this week. And I don't really know why that was. They've both come out and apologised for it. They just said, our heads were wrong and we just weren't in it. And normally when
heads weren't wrong last week against Villa, eh?
No, and I can't work out what was wrong this week because normally
Van de Ven missing.
No. Normally when we go a goal behind, there's an attitude shift and we are better, weirdly, when we go a goal behind. It seems to kind of motivate them to go and push further, push harder. And this week it had the opposite effect. They just all kind of looked at each other as if to say, well, what do we do now then?
Mm.
And that lack of togetherness and cohesion just was a big problem. What does it mean for us moving forward? Well, look, we come out of it into two really nice fixtures. At home against Luton in game week 30. And then another nice fixture. Is it Sheffield United in 31?
West Ham and then Forest.
And then after that, obviously the games are difficult. We have those two difficult fixtures against Newcastle first. And then obviously the game against Manchester City will be either moved or it will stay there but move into the midweek. So there will be some impact in that one. But these next 3 weeks are absolutely critical for Spurs. We kind of got lucky today because West Ham took points off Aston Villa.
Yeah, yeah.
Had that not happened, this would have been a disastrous weekend.
Almost got
entirely.
3 points off of Villa, didn't they?
They did.
Almost.
At the last minute. I think it was handball, wasn't it, from Suchek?
Mm.
But these next three games are really, really important. They're three games that we can't afford to drop any points in. We have to take 3 points from each of those next three fixtures. Now, I think as a result of that, you want to stay invested in Spurs. The question that a lot of managers are going to have on the back of this performance in particular and on the back of Salah being back and starting the game today,
yeah, yeah,
will be, well, how do I get Salah for that game against Brighton and then for the run of fixtures that Liverpool go on after that? And how do I maintain Son in my team? Because...
And Haaland.
You're going to want Haaland back. And for those managers that have sold Haaland, trying to get both of those two premiums back in and hold the likes of Saka and Son is going to be virtually impossible to do unless you've got a lot of money sitting in the bank. So I think that there is scope in the Spurs team to go with a cheaper investment. And when we get to my wildcard team later, you'll see how I've tried to manage it. I have got money in the bank, but not significant enough. Because I do think that there are options there. And for those next 3 weeks, I do think you want to hold a Spurs player or two to get you through those weeks, be it a defender in a midfielder or however you want to do it. At the end of those 3 weeks, maybe you can look to de-invest a little bit as we come into that difficult run of fixtures.
So what do you make of Richarlison being back and how that's going to affect Son then going forward? Because there will be an interesting narrative, and I'll buy into it. that, you know, Son will go back out left, he'll be less effective, you can have Richarlison to cover him, and then you can go for Salah in midfield. That's what people will want to do, but there's risk, obviously, because you're not having Son.
Of course there's a risk of that, but I also think that the way that it was in the earlier part of the season and just prior to Richarlison's injury, it was working for Spurs with Son being wider and Richarlison being through the middle. Now, there was big chunks of the season where Son was really ineffective in FPL being out there, but he wasn't ineffective for Spurs being out there. He was just ineffective from an FPL perspective. So I definitely think that with Richarlison being back, there is an opportunity now for us to look elsewhere in that Spurs team.
I think he's reasonably hungry, to be honest with you. But Richarlison, he come on, he got a couple of shots away.
He is hungry. And I think, you know, you have to look at what he's... He had a very difficult start to his career at Spurs. He obviously was on the bench for large chunks of the season, playing under Harry Kane, which is never a place that you want to be as a striker.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when he did come into the starting 11 when Harry left, he found it very difficult to get any traction for quite a long time. And then he hit the ground running, didn't he? Back around the time when you bought him, when he was actually having that really, really great run.
I've held him through the injury and I plan to hold him.
I would absolutely, because I think, you know, he'll be straight back in the start, particularly after that performance this weekend. I think he'll be straight back into the starting 11 for game week 30. At home against Luton, the Spurs fans in particular will want a reaction.
What is the diagnosis on Van der Ven's return? Because I know that you completely disagree with me, but
I don't disagree with
theory.
You.
I think if he's back, then Spurs will be back on the menu.
I don't disagree with you in terms of the importance of Van der Ven, but I did think that Dragosin had a good game. I thought he did well, and he's quick. So it's not like he did get back. There were a number of times where Fulham got on the break and he got back and dealt with it in the same way that Van der Ven would have. So I don't think that was the issue. I genuinely think there was a mentality issue.
You got it right the first time. Mentality.
What did I say? Did I say it right the first time?
Yeah.
Issue this week. Something was up with them. I don't quite know what, but there was definitely something in the water. But Van der Ven,
complacent.
No, I don't think it was complacency.
Because you've that first half, in particular, like a training game.
They just didn't seem like they were. I don't know. It was really weird. They don't know. They've got no excuse to be tired because they've not played enough games. But they were lethargic, and they were not. There was almost like they were. They'd not had their dinner or something before they went on the pitch. There was something not quite right.
I do think you can keep shooting me down for that, but he's a problem, Dragosan. I don't think he's got the pace that I'm not saying he's slow. I'm just saying he's not got the pace that you need to play the way that Ange wants to play. And Van der Ven has. Dragosan is not slow, not saying it. And he's not a bad defender, but you conceded 3 on the first start he's had all season. And the other thing that Ange doesn't do is he always sticks with the same 11. Like, you see other teams, they have other defenders coming in. They get game time. They get game time in cup competitions. They get game time. So Dragosan comes in. It's like, right, mate, you've got to come in and be elite almost immediately away at Fulham, which is a tricky game the way they're playing. I just think it was hard on the lad, right? And Muniz, give him the runaround. You can't say he was good. You just can't, I don't think. Let's move on anyway. West Ham 1, Aston Villa 1. Let's talk about that game then.
It's going to be hard for us to talk about this because we haven't watched it.
We haven't watched it because it wasn't on TV here. It was the FA Cup, wasn't it, mostly on the TV. But this was kind of important from an FPL perspective. Certainly, we all lined up with a lot of them our free hits. Going forward, though, West Ham's fixtures are kind of mixed. Newcastle, Spurs, Wolves, Fulham, Palace doesn't look too bad from sort of 32 onwards. And then Aston Villa as well. You know, Wolves coming up in a Midlands derby in 30. Then Manchester City away, Brentford at home, Arsenal away, a couple of really tricky looking away games. We'll come to your wild card in a bit, so this might be a bit of a spoiler. Do you think Watkins is sellable if you were wild carding this week?
No.
You don't. You want to hold him for Wolves at home?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think, look, he clearly got an injury the other night. I know it's not an injury,
It was a gash on his leg, yeah.
I haven't seen the game today to see how he moved and how he played. So it's difficult to comment on. But it was like 3 days, wasn't it, since that. And if it's a deep cut, and it did look pretty nasty, to be fair, if it's been stitched up, it might have just been affecting him. I don't know. Personally, I don't feel like I want to get rid of Watkins. I think there are some players on wildcard that you hold because you have to in many ways. Okay. Like I think Watkins is one of those where selling him just feels like it's a risk I don't need to take.
Mm-hmm.
He's heavily owned.
He can be explosive on his day, can't he? You don't want to miss one of them.
And it can kill you. If you take him out and then he gets a 15-pointer, that's really going to hurt your rank. And I think you have to be mindful of that, particularly in these last few weeks of the season. You take some chances with certain positions, but actually, like, my rank is not where I want it to be by any stretch of the imagination. So I have to make sure that I'm not taking huge gambles on things,
because like Watkins out.
Because if you do that and it backfires, one, you're struggling to get them back in again, and because they've gone up in price a lot since I bought them, and two, it's difficult to accept that that's going to have a massive knock-on effect on your rank. So I think there are a few players, and Watkins is one of them, that I just think you have to have.
Okay, and then West Ham looked really good in Europe in midweek, but
really good in Europe,
not so good. And maybe that was the thing. Although Villa did play as well in Europe, didn't they, in midweek? So neither of them could use that as an excuse. Just before we talk about West Ham, we've got our friend FPL Harry is in the chat.
Bonjour, Harry.
Congratulations, Harry, on Chelsea getting through to the FA Cup semi-finals. But also, a massive congratulations, because Harry, Sam,
right?
Got to 100,000 subs. Yeah. 100,000 subs,
job, Harry,
on your channel, mate. It's absolutely unbelievable, the growth that he's had over the last few years. Guys, and I'm pretty sure that everyone that's here tonight in this live stream is subscribing and following to Harry. But if you are not, get over to Harry's channel at the end of this live stream and hit subscribe in the same way that 100,000 other... Do you get a button for that? You get like a button, don't you, from YouTube for that, don't you?
Well, if you don't, then you should.
You should, yeah, you should. Absolutely. I think you do get a button. So well done, Harry. Absolutely brilliant, mate. West Ham, thoughts?
Oh, Areola.
So close to a 9-pointer, wasn't he? So close.
I'm so glad he didn't. That honestly might have tipped me over the edge this week. I had Bowen and Kudos for this one, and alongside everyone else, by the way, free hit.
Koo fell on the bench.
And Koo fell on the
bench.
Yeah,
same.
And all of them hurt, like, it hurt in all senses. Like, but it's one of those, isn't it, where you look at it and you go, after the performance they put in on Thursday evening, there's no way you're doing anything different to that. Bowen was great. Kudus was great. It is what it is. It's hard because we have not watched the game to know. It did feel like West Ham were the ones that were pushing for the winner.
Newcastle away, Spurs at home, Wolves away. I don't think you're massively investing, are you?
No, but I think...
Are you holding Bowen if you've got Bowen?
I wouldn't.
You'd be selling him, would you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because I think that there are other assets coming into a good run of fixtures now,
okay,
for roughly the same price tag or less. Like, there'll be a lot of managers that have sold, like, Palmer in recent weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you want him back.
Bowen to Palmer would absolutely make sense.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Not too much to discuss from that game. Plus, we haven't seen it.
I don't even really want to talk about Reguilón.
No.
I just don't really want to talk about Reguilón.
And this is the sort of result where you're not going to go, oh, I'll go and invest massively in Burnley in FPL then. So, listen, I don't want to talk about it
at
much.
At one point, Charlie Taylor was getting a clean sheet on my bench.
Just a quick... So, I guess the one FPL asset that some players will have is Tony. Thoughts, hold, keep, sell, buy. I mean, what we're doing with Tony, because that's now, what, four blanks in a row for Tony? And he didn't look like the one threatening, did he, either, to be honest with you,
no,
in this game?
I don't
appreciate
think...
they played most of the game with 10 men.
Well, again, I think it takes you back, doesn't it, to that conversation that we were having about Muniz before, is that you could take Tony down to him and that gives you the money for Salah, probably.
Yeah.
And there'll be a lot of managers, I think, looking to do that over the coming weeks. Like, I think Tony is a sacrifice that I would be prepared to make.
Yeah, all right.
The one thing I would say is that as a Charlie Taylor owner, and I haven't done anything about him on my wildcard yet, he's still sitting there because, you know, legend. But you did call out Patino, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, I said that on the Patreon podcast, didn't I, on Thursday. I said he's been playing in that front three, and he's a defender, cheap defender in FPL, so just keep your eye on it. And up until the Ayer goal, he's looking like he might get a haul this game week. And he won the penalty and everything else. Looked reasonably ex-lively as well, didn't he? He looked all right. So I don't mind him, as long as you just accept that you ain't going to get any clean sheets out of Burnley, are you? You're just hoping that he gets an assist every now and again. But as a cheap defender, he's maybe worth a look.
Well, the thing is, I think if you're looking for a cheap defender, then the ones with the attacking returns are the ones that you want to look for, aren't they, really? Because the cheap ones aren't necessarily going to keep you that many clean sheets between now and the end of the season.
He gives the ball away a lot. I can see why he plays for Burnley and not a bigger side. Sorry, Burnley fans. Because I noticed actually his underlying BPS for the game, it was 18. So he's nearly got a clean sheet. He's got an assist as a defender. He's 18, all right? It's all right, but I don't know. I think there's better options at that price bracket. I honestly do. But I don't mind him. Listen, he's playing in a front three of a Premier League side and he's a 4.5 defender. So he's worthy of mention. Yeah. He's always worthy of mention.
How much is he?
4.5, I think. 4.4 or 4.5. I bought him in from a free hit, benched him, didn't I? Anybody.
You benched anyone that got points.
Anyone that listened to me on the Ohana. Any of our patrons that listened to me on the Ohana this week and got Vitinho in. Yeah, fair play. I did say on Fanzone about Fofana as well. Listen, he got the goal.
But you're not going to take up a forward spot with him, are you?
You're not, absolutely. But the only reason I wanted to mention him is because that is the highest XG miss I think we've had all season, bar maybe Haaland's the other week, a 0.91 XG miss from Fofana. I don't even think...
Is Haaland's even that high?
I don't even think, and the XG nerds can tell me, like I'm not an XG
nerd. I thought it was 0.9.
But the XG nerds can tell me, I'm not even sure it registers as a chance because he completely missed it, Fofana. The ball comes across and I don't think he even touches it. And it's like all he's got to do is like he could just, I don't know, fall over on it and it goes in. But it's a massive, massive chance somewhere it is. And he could have had a... If you got him on your free hit, I love it. Fair play. I love it. Because we're all going, oh, Tony Watkins, Morris, Muniz. If you went for Fofana at like 0.4% owned and you got the goal, fair play. Love it. Absolutely love that. That's a great shout. Right, that's enough about game week 29. Let's leave it in the rearview mirror, Sam, and never, ever discuss it again. Let's never discuss game week 29 ever again. It was shocking. Patreon.com/FPL family is where you can go to get more of Sam and I in your lives. We've got a few of our patrons in this evening. And, you know, I will every now and again be on Ohana talking about Vitinho or Fofana. Or I'll do some bits of good advice every now and again on those exclusive podcasts. So if you're interested in getting hold of those, if you're interested in taking part in our Manager of the Month competition, or if you're interested in having Zoom calls with Sam and I about your upcoming wildcard, anything you want to do with your team, then that is the place to go. Patreon.com/FPL family. And all the links that you will need are in the description of this YouTube video or the podcast that you're listening to. The links are all in the description below. So patreon.com/FPL family if you want to come and support the channel. Thank you, guys.
It'll be an Ask Us Anything
of ad.
Ohana podcast this week, won't it?
Yes, there will be. International break. So there definitely will be. What do you want to do first? My bus team for 30 or your wildcard draft?
Let's do your bus team. Go on.
Go on then, we'll do that very quickly. So here's how my team looks like for 30. No one's interested in this, so interested in getting to your wild card. But for the sake of the podcasters, I've got Dubravka in goal, Alex Moreno, Gabriel and Zabani at the back.
I've got
Richarlison, Palmer, Saka and Son in midfield. I've got Solanke, Haaland and Watkins up front. And on my bench, I've got Areola, Foden, first bench. Asking for another hat-trick, aren't I there? Asking for trouble. Saliba, second bench, and then Doughty, third bench. I don't mind the team. I'm actually very happy to have these guys back. I think, you know, Haaland, Solanke, Watkins is a fine front three for game week 30. I think Watkins will have shaken off any possible injury or lethargy he'll have by then, and Wolves at home is a good fixture for him. Saka I'm not taking out because they've got really good fixtures after the City game, and in any given game he can do well. Palmer, I think, is a genuine captaincy option for this week, home to Burnley as well. I think he looks really good. Son and Richarlison I'm keeping for now. And then, obviously, the back line, I'm not expecting big things from, but I've got good old Zabani in there. Early thoughts on transfer. Go on.
Where's Salah? Or any Liverpool player, for that matter.
Yeah, it's possible that I go without in 30 and then move for him in 31. But I do have enough money in the bank to go from Son to Salah. I do have to make a sacrifice, but that sacrifice is Alex Moreno, which feels like a fine sacrifice to make. So if I was to take Moreno down to Gusto, then I would have the exact money plus or minus 0.1 to do Son to Salah. So for a hit, I could get Gusto and Salah for Moreno and Son, and I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I don't mind it. The other way to do it is to go from Watkins to Muniz and then get Son to Salah that way. No, not Son to Salah. That'd be Richarlison to Salah. I could do them instead. So okay. The question I've got to ask myself is, if I want Salah for 30, there's a very high chance that I'm losing a Spurs player to do it, which home to Luton, I don't like the sound of. You know, say what you want about that performance, but if Van de Ven is back for game week 30... Ange, I think, is the sort of manager where he'll be drilling it into them for two whole weeks that they've got to react. I think under previous regimes, Spurs would easily drop points at home to Luton, or you just go on a bad run. But I just don't feel like Ange is that sort of manager. I think you'll be wanting to get back on that pitch and sort of, you know, give Luton a bit of a bashing potentially, right? And Luton, we know, can concede plenty of goals on their day. So I don't like taking Son out ahead of 30. I don't like it at all. But if it means getting Mo in, and the only sacrifice I have to make is Moreno to Gusto, which in my mind is actually an upgrade, because Gusto at home to Burnley feels better than a rotation risk in Moreno. I think he got the start, didn't he, in the cup? But Dean is there.
No, he got the start against West Ham in the league.
He got the start in West Ham. Sorry, yes, he did. Yeah, he started today. So, but, you know, Dean is there. Is he actually that good, Moreno? I don't know. Plus, he's expensive. He's like 5.3, 5.4.
It's like a Estupiñán all over again.
I don't want a 5.3 rotation risk in my team. So taking him out for Gusto to bring in Salah, I don't mind that for a minus four. The thing that might stop me doing it is obviously the minus four and the fact that Son's got Luton. So do I wait on Salah until 31 when we've got Sheffield United and then do that move for free because I've rolled a transfer? Potentially. I don't know. Got 2 weeks to ponder that. But that's where I'm at. The rest of the team looks fine. In a week where I'm benching Foden, I've got no issues in my team. Do you know what I mean? No issues. If I'm benching Foden and Saliba, I'm fine. It does not need major surgery. So that's my team. As I said before, when we did our scores, and we did scores for game week 29, I'm like at 45k. So it's fine. I'm well positioned for the remainder of the season. Here is your wildcard draft, Sam. Your game week 30, wildcard draft 1.0. Get in the chat, guys. Well, let us know what you think about this this wildcard draft. But talk us through it.
So it has actually changed a little bit.
Okay, go on
since
then.
Since then.
So it will change kind of lots 1.1, over the next couple of weeks, right?
It's kind of 1.1 now. So at the moment, Areola and Raya in goal. Raya because I just fancy Arsenal to do well in the closing weeks of the season.
Sure.
And actually fitting in Gabriel with Saliba is difficult because of the price point, whereas obviously Raya comes in 0.4 cheaper than Gabriel. And yes, all right, you don't get the potential upside as you do with Gabriel. But also, when I'm looking at my team, most weeks I'm playing three at the back anyway. So being able to just play the goalkeeper means not having to do what you're looking at doing this week with your two Arsenal players. And I know that partly that's because it's obviously a difficult game against Man City, but it kind of makes sense. And Areola stays because I still have my bench boost chip and he is the cheapest half decent playing goalkeeper to have, I think, as a bench option.
If I was going to wildcard this week, he'd be the first one out the door, Areola.
I'll probably end up keeping him. And then a back five currently reads, and it's very similar to what's there, but it currently reads Udogi, Saliba, Zabani, Gusto, Taylor.
So losing
Doughty. And the reason for doing that was twofold. One, because I think Chelsea's fixtures are much nicer than Luton's. And two, because that leaves me the exact money that I need. If I want Maddison to be Son, he can be. So that means I can have all of those premium assets in the midfield and the forward line. Midfield five then, Palmer, Salah, Saka, Gordon, and Maddison. But Maddison, as I say, because of the Gusto transfer, I have the exact money for Maddison to be Son. So okay, that works out quite nicely. And then a front three.
Still no Phil Foden in there?
Not yet. So the plan would be that I would have Maddison / Son for the next couple and then swap the Spurs midfielder to the Man City guy at that point. The reason for doing that now. And so this is the only difference. And then a front three, the sacrifice is Dominic Solanke.
Dom Solanke sacrifice. Everton and Palace at home, followed by Luton away, Manu at home, and then Brighton at home in 35.
Can't have everyone, Lee. So Dom Solanke's been sacrificed for Nunez, who's got a nice fixtures. It's not like I've sacrificed him for somebody with terrible fixtures. And with those front guys, Dom Solanke's going to be the first sub most weeks anyway. Because look at that front eight.
I'm not sure I'd be selling Solanke on a wild card.
I have. So that's done. And he won't come back. He's not going to come back. Whatever happens, he's not going to come back.
Solanke is dead. You've had it with him for the season. That's it.
Yeah. And then so this team is set up. So the difference between the part of the reason I decided to wildcard yesterday.
Zabani's still in there.
Yeah, because he's a legend. He's joined legend. He's joined legend club. So the bunch every week is the Barney most weeks, Charlie Taylor every week, and then it will be Munez most weeks, because he's the cheapest of those options, not necessarily because I want to bench him, which is why I might as well save the money from Solanke.
The guys in the chat are saying, don't mind the Munez as an enabler because of what you're doing with it. I would not be selling Solanke, but I can understand why you've done it, because it enables the brilliant rest of the rest of the seven. The guys are saying, if you were sticking with Bournemouth though, could you go Semenyo rather than Muniz as the enabler?
Yeah, can be. Okay. Can be. I'm not.
You're just saying there's going to be an enabler.
But there has to be an enabler.
Yeah.
And so for now, it's him, because after the punishment he provided my team, I feel like he should come in here and, you know, be a permanent fixture for a little bit. But the only difference between this team now and a wildcard team had I played it in 33/34 was Phil Foden.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I was like, why am I waiting then? Because all of these other players that come in now, the likes of Salah, they are going to go up in price. And so over the coming weeks, these players are going to be players that get more and more expensive, and I'm going to be struggling then. And the sacrifices then have to be greater. Whereas at this point, with Gusto there instead of Doughty, I've got Son as well. So Son can then easily become Foden. That frees up a little bit of money. And then that Foden money can be used at the point of bench boost to fix the bench issue. That's the plan. So I think doing it now, I'm not creating anything any different. It's just I've got Son for the next two, and then or Madison or Richarlison, depending upon who I want to go with at Spurs.
Okay.
And then they become Phil Foden as Manchester City go into that nicer run of fixtures that they've got.
Okay. All right, let's see what you guys are saying in the chat. You can answer some of these questions. Sam George Day is saying, the legend, the myth, Charlie Taylor stays. Lol. Love it. He'll always be there.
I feel like Charlie Taylor and me are like, kind of know, welded together now. Can't lose him.
Webby's saying, I like it, Sam, for what it's worth. Dr. David is saying, Muniz is a way better enabler than Semenyo anyway, so go with him.
Mm.
Wilco's saying, what about Branthwaite? Everton, some decent fixtures coming up. Could he be in there?
He's another one. He could be in there. Like, you could change them up. It's a budget thing, right? So the reality is, at the moment, it's Udogie. I'm not wed to it being him either, by the way. It could be anyone else in that spot. I just wanted a five million in there. The Spurs for the next couple with Saliba, I'll be playing them both. And then the other three, Gusto, Zabani, well, let's just talk for two, because Charlie Taylor, they're going to play on the weeks where I want to, you know, when Chelsea have got a good fixture, I'll play Gusto. When Zabani's got a good fixture, I'll play Zabani. The other two have got to sit on the bench anyway. It's always going to be a back three. So Branthwaite is just that. He's more expensive than Charlie Taylor. And I don't feel like I have to spend that money there. I could just leave it.
Sure. Jason is saying, Gabriel over Saliba. You're going to stick with the Frenchman, right? And stick with Saliba.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I spent too much time with Jules, but I feel like Saliba is...
You've had him all season.
I've not had him. And
yeah.
I don't know. I really, really like... Oh, God, I hate myself for saying I like an Arsenal player, but I really like Saliba. I think he's really good. And I know that Gabriel's got more attacking threat, but there's just something about Saliba. I can't quite bring myself to not have him.
Nigel's saying, distinct lack of Foden there, Sam. There's a plan there, Si.
It's only really because of the Arsenal game this week and because Spurs have got Luton. Had Man City had anyone else this week... And Spurs had anyone else, I wasn't expecting a massive bounce back from them.
Yeah.
I probably would have gone with Foden straight away.
George is saying, love the wildcard, Sam. Any question I have, do you think getting someone from Man U, having a strong finish for the end of the season? No. Shutting that down, are you?
The only one I'd consider is Garnacho, and I think Anthony Gordon and Cole Palmer are far, far better cheap options in midfield.
I like how George went for getting any Man United. He's not worried about Brentford. I think Brentford's his team, isn't it, George? I think it is.
Yeah, it is Brentford, yeah.
Right. What else are we saying? AB saying, yeah, like that Spurs to City planned swap, Sam. Like the sound of that. AB is saying Solanke does have a double, so
we've had this before. Did we not all learn our lesson?
What did we learn?
We've surely learned our lesson.
Not going to miss any more pens, surely.
I don't know. It depends what Jules does with him. If Jules, if Jules keeps him, he'll score all of his pens. If Jules sells him, he'll miss them all.
Exactly. Nigel is saying, I'm tempted to go without Haaland. So there's your cue to go with Haaland. You know, don't do...
Is this Simon? What's he doing going without Haaland?
Without Haaland.
Brilliant.
What
I love Simon.
Saying?
He is the best, isn't he? He's absolutely great. Rogue.
Yeah, it's great. George is saying, it's all right. I'd rather not talk about Brentford right now.
Same as me and
George,
Spurs, George.
George, you and Reggie on. You've ruined all of our free hit weeks.
I don't think we can blame George for the free hit failings.
Wilco is saying, what about Conor Bradley? We're going for someone in the Liverpool defence.
Now
here's a question mark I have for you. Because Raya, don't mind it at all.
Yeah.
But listen, Conor Bradley... not Conor Bradley, the goalkeeper. Kelleher. Let's see. I mean, I'm not sure how long it is until Alisson's back.
So,
but at 3.7, 3.8, whatever it is, you can save yourself a lot of money there.
You can. But Alisson is due back soonish.
Yeah.
I think it's like 31, isn't it? Which put me off Kelleher. Now, if Alisson, and I hope for your sake he's not, but if he gets delayed in his comeback, then I absolutely think that's on. The other thing is I need
to... have him instead of Areola, wouldn't you, at least?
100%, if he's going to play. But I obviously don't want to be making a goalkeeper change at some point for a bench boost. That's the thing.
Oh, the bench boost comes into play. Yeah,
so
I've
got
yeah,
okay. You've got to think about these things. If you're having Raya, you're pretty much playing Raya every week anyway, aren't you? So Kelleher's basically your second goalkeeper. And if then at some point he's going to become a non-playing second goalkeeper, that's just a problem for the bench boost. I don't want to have to fix.
Yeah, the bench boost is one of them annoying chips that sort of just...
I don't see Areola is that much of a problem. He can just sit on the bench and annoy me from the bench. Bradley's a good shout, and he is one I've thought about. I need to understand more about Trent and expected timelines with Trent, because again, I don't want to get myself into let's get 3 weeks down the line and find I've got a problem. If I'm getting 6 weeks down the line and finding I've got a problem with Bradley, then that's fine. I'm happy to make that transfer in the future, because as I've already said, I've got the money to go from that's going to free up when I come down to Foden, so that money can then take Bradley up to somebody else that's important at that stage. So that he is definitely on the radar for sure.
Okay. All right, well, the general feeling in the chat is that it's looking all right, Sam, is it? Maybe some little tweaks around
honestly,
the edges. The
it
Dom
needs
Solanke
to be
risk
right.
is there. It's relevant. You're right to point it out. But the Solanke to Moniz does enable a lot of other stuff. And you can get a team there, very decent-looking team, with Salah and Saka and Haaland and Son as well. You know, if you've got, like you say, 1.7 in the bank here. So Madison can be Son. That can be Foden in the future. So there's a lot
of... Yeah, the Gusto to Doughty thing has meant that Madison is... It can be Son.
Don't mind it. Don't mind it. It's looking all right. Well, there we go. That is Sam's first wildcard draft. I'm sure that your camera reel will be absolutely full of wildcard drafts as we go over the international break over the next few. So we will have an Ask Us Anything podcast for our Ohana Patreon followers in the week, but I suspect one of the questions that we might get on the Ask Us Anything, because it doesn't have to be FPL related, might be, how's the wildcard looking? Well, that's certainly be my question. So we will do an Ask Us Anything.
Well, I'll do
there will be a bit
update.
Of a wildcard update.
I'll do
in
a
there
wildcard
well,
update, of course, for you guys. You'll obviously get one again heading into game week 30 as well. The only negative, do you know what the only thing I considered before I hit this button was?
Yes.
Where are we when the game week 30 deadline passes?
Where are we when the game... I've got no idea. I don't know what I'm doing week to week.
We're on Sky.
Are we?
And I hate that. I hate being live on Sky when I have
a
wildcard
active.
Because it does... It affects the morning. Because obviously I drive to Sky. So I'm driving us there. Which means I can't do anything because I'm driving. And then when we get there, I've got a bit of time when I'm in makeup where I can make some changes. But it's that like 5 minute period before the deadline when you're on a wild card where you are making changes.
Well, I'm considering rolling, so I'll drive us. It's no problem. In your car.
I'm not letting you drive my car.
Right, there we go. That is the live stream for tonight. Sam, tell everyone what's coming up this week.
So it's going to be a bit of a quieter week this week because it's obviously
international
break.
We need a breather.
Although I am going up to Newcastle for a couple of days tomorrow, so that would be fun. On the train to Newcastle. I've never been to Newcastle before, so that'd be fun. We will be back with Ohana, of course, this week for our patrons, and I will. Oh God, I will be back on Thursday with Jules and Kelly.
That's turning into a bit of a nightmare. That pod, isn't it?
Before we came on here, he was messaging in our group chat, and I just was like, wanted to throw my phone out the window. Honestly.
Listen, he's doing amazingly well, Jules Laurent, so far this season. How he's doing it is completely mind-blowing. The last two, even if you just look at the last 2 weeks, right? Last week...
No Solanke.
He didn't have Solanke in a week where everyone captained him for the double game week, and he slips and misses a penalty.
Yeah.
And like...
Right, lost less than a Kane rank as well.
And Bournemouth get 6 goals and he gets 1.
Yeah.
Over the course of 2 game weeks. This week, he's fumbling along with a -8, playing 8 players, and everyone else is free hitting.
I know.
And he gets 20 points and everyone else has got 15. It's honestly, even if you just take those two scenarios, the chance of those two things happening,
I know,
is unbelievably remote. Unbelievably
so
remote.
So you can imagine what he's going to be like on Thursday when Kelly, the biggest return that either Kelly or I have got in our team is -3 from Reguilón.
It's unreal.
Because obviously he dodged that because he hasn't got Reguilón. So I'll be back with him and Kelly. Both of us have threatened to not turn up on Thursday morning. So you might just get Jules talking on his own about his planning and talent and everything else he bangs on about. But yeah, Thursday morning, we're back with the official FPL pod. And then obviously heading into game week 30, it'll be back up to normal speed with the official pod as well as being on Sky Sports on that Saturday
nice
morning.
As well. And we give Harry a shout out. We should also give a shout out to our very good friend FPL Raptor as well.
Yes, well done, Ross.
Debut on Sky Sports at the weekend on Saturday with Holly and with Hayley. So well done to Ross, because that was brilliant. I thought you did a great job.
Great job.
Looked absolutely natural. So I love, we've got all our mates around. We've got Harry doing the 100K. We've got Raptor doing the Sky Sports stuff. It's brilliant. And here we are, Sam, 15 points on a free hit.
I think Harry had 15 points on his free hit as well, to be fair.
Oh, he probably did. Yeah, he probably
did. But because
did.
I think everyone at free hit had 15 points. It feels like that's where everyone was. And if you had Gibbs White, then maybe you had 20.
Correct. So here we are, game week 29. That's it. We're not talking about it anymore.
Ever. Please.
No, this is between us, guys. Everyone on it. We are never talking about game week 29. Put it in room 101.
Is it like...
Let's never talk about it again.
Is it like in Potter where they can't say Voldemort? Like, is it like that?
We're just not going to say... Yeah, the game week that shall not be named
The game week that will not be named.
Like, we'll never, ever talk about it before. Let's move on. Line under it. And we'll look forward to seeing how your wildcard does in game week 30.
Should we go and have a cup of tea and a flapjack /brownie/cookie?
Let's go and have a consolatory cup of tea and a flapjack, Sam. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Thanks,
guys. It's mini egg flapjacks as well. Put mini eggs on them.
Amazing. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. Guys, thank you for joining us tonight. Leave us a like before you go. Hit that subscribe button as well. We're nowhere near the 100K that Harry's got. So get us up there. That's where we want to go. We need to catch Harry with his 100K.
I think the chances of us catching Harry are quite slim. Particularly over an international break where we have to get...
No, I'm talking about FPL. Guys, thanks for tuning in tonight. Leave us a like and we'll see you next time. Cheers.
Bye, everyone. Sports Social Podcast Network.